5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show and Goldie's singing debut.
Isn't that like, you know, it's like Zach Kimmel just brings me up when, you know, it's like, wow.
I hum that song on my, I mean, I'm telling you, I'll just be doing my day and I'll be, you and me and love me all. And I'm going, wow, how, it's just phenomenal. You know, I'm humming your songs.
Sun song. Yeah,
yes,
no, it's great. It's great. We're talking about such good stuff, heavy stuff, kind of creative tension stuff, and then I hear that, and I'm like, wow, that is so good.
Yeah, I'm over here dancing. I mean, I'm telling you, I've sat down at my computer and go, where's Jack's song? Where's Jack? I'm looking at your name and saying, where's Zach's song? It's like, and I play it. I play it because, I genuinely enjoy the song, you know, it's...
Yeah, yeah, and his whole list of songs, there was nights where, when the heat wasn't working, and I was sleeping on the couch because I was heating the living room with like that little one of those little portable radiator heaters, and just like in the middle of the night, I wake up and I just put his music on, and it was so good, and
nice.
You know, I realized, there's something so courageous about someone like Zach, my son, who's in this culture at 28, who's willing to create such beauty. Because there's a lot of pressure to be cool and, you know, be, you know, not, you know, that creating beauty by a young man isn't such a, you know, it's like,
yeah,
no, you got to be cool and hard.
That's supported in the testosterone community.
Yeah, and this is the beautiful slow dance community or the, you know, or the just the uplifting love songs or going really deep and being vulnerable. And I texted him, you know, listening to your music, realizing how courageous you are. And he's like, and leave it to my son to not just say thanks, but he goes, why do you say that?
So I was like,
typical that I'd have to explain such a comment, you know?
I'll be honest with you. I think he enjoys hearing it because I think at this critical time in what's happening in his life, he needs to hear it. You know, because
he does. You're right.
Because I can picture you saying something like that to me and going, "Yeah, why is that?" Because ultimately,
you want to hear why that is.
Of course. Because and the truth is, you know, you don't blow smoke up our ass. When you feel it, it is genuine. So when you share it, you know, there's really there's some soul, not some. There is soul behind your share.
Well, you know, that word comes up again for me, which is quality, which is a soul word. Because I remember our last conversation with George. So funny, because the night before, you know, you and I had a radio show, and then it was whenever the following, we had a conversation with George. But again, that word quality, that's what I told Zach. I said, it's because of the quality I feel in your songs, and I think quality is equated to the connection to soul.
Oh,
and
you think?
Yeah, you just helped me with that. So, so I really do. And so there's something courageous about that, because there's temptation just to, like, deliver, you know, what is cool, which, you know, to me is not necessarily what is soul. That's
exactly.
Work. You know, marketing and cultured and
usually it's about the selling of the soul.
Yeah. Or just a persona. You know.
So
just listening to that now, it happened again. It's like, wow, it's so good.
Right on. It's very good. And you're absolutely right. It is it's a style that is not many people have that style, but that is part of his gift and his courage to be authentic in that style.
Yeah.
I mean, Janine, he's your son. I would expect nothing less.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's really a testimony to, you know, he had that kind of presence in his life.
Yeah, I always noticed it in him as well. That wasn't always an easy road, but it was an authentic road.
Yeah, right on.
You know, so anyway, so here we are.
So here we are, yes.
Hurling through space.
Yeah. Janine was noticing herself hurling through space this week, and and that supported you. And I'm telling you, I really do, again, that's a soulful quality to, you know, because we were chatting... was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just chatting about, you know, when Janine shares stuff with me, I love you, babe, because there's a tentativeness about you sometimes that's just endearing. And, you know, you're like, I'm not quite sure why hurling through space is relaxing me, or how, you know, you put it, it was comforting you, and I'm like, you know, from my perspective on the outside, I'm going, oh, really? It's so obvious to me. You know, that's the soul's perspective. And, you know, the soul isn't worried about the things that is happening right now because of the compression.
Yeah.
And we are most absolutely, definitely going through a compression.
I feel it's very heightened right now because, you know, it's like since the end of last week and, over the weekend and in today, I'm very familiar with when I feel creative tension and what it's like to be steady and hold the space in that. And I can tell you that I'm feeling it, you know. And I was like, well, I'll be doing the show holding the space and creative tension because I'm feeling it. And
right on.
You know, that's I'm getting outside and I'm moving and I'm doing some good things, you know, creative things, but. I am noticing, and I just have to be easy and like take afternoons off and just space. And you know, I watched all those YouTubes you sent me on Simon. Don't know his last name. And
I'll get his last name.
Yeah, and that's interesting to really challenge
Simon Park. Willingly
challenge our. Or my, you know, I'm not fixed in what I think reality is at all. Like, I'm always welcoming and saying, you know, be open to dropping belief systems constantly. And that those were very good. They were really reality shifters or, you know, moving. They were moving. So, yeah, I've been watching. I watched that yesterday evening then I watched it in the middle of the night, and I watched them today. And funny what you do when you're in the creative tension.
Well, right. Some parts turn on, and some parts, you know, rest. I mean, you know, it's not about because. I mean, there's two things I want to share. I will share what was on those videos in context because I think it'll help people understand the reference that you're making. But before I do that, it was very clear to my senses this weekend that let me back up one second. Saturday I went on an interview and I got a job, and you know, it's very interesting because I often go through my crises prior to the whole, you know, the mass consciousness going through their crises. And it's not better or worse. It's just kind of how I notice my life. And so last week, coming into to Saturday, tremendous pressure, just pressure. I was really feeling the walls of my life coming in and pushing hard on me. And, you know, it was very interesting because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I'm becoming acutely aware of the outside world and whether it dictates how I feel. And I'll be absolutely honest with you, getting this job has lifted me, has lifted a pressure off of me that I can see it, I can feel it, and, you know, it's lifted the pressure off me that, you know, I have money coming in. And it's consistent money. It's not just, you know, I happen to be working a weekend and, you know, somebody's dropping $700 in my lap, but, you know, every week I'm going to be working anywhere between 20 and 30 hours, and I haven't had this kind of consistency in a long time. I mean, in a long time. And one of the things that I was saying is that it's important not to let the outside world dictate the inside world. And what I gleaned from that is there are times where I could absolutely go into the forest and just forget that, well, I won't say forget, let me put it more succinctly. I could turn my focus to feeling just incredibly good in the presence of the trees and the reservoir and the birds and the bugs and the dirt and, you know, all of it. And, but, you know, I would come out of the forest, and definitely last week, feeling again the pressure. And, you know, thank you very much, Gemini. She just congratulated her, he. So, you know, when I say it's important not to let the outside world dictate us, one of the things I was pondering prior to getting the job was that, you know, I'll speak for myself, but these are kind of like they're templates for all of us that are intentionally leaving the matrix to do the organic timeline. You know, leaving the matrix, essentially money is a component of the matrix. You don't see birds, you know, bartering for nesting materials. You don't see chipmunks having, you know, little acorn stands, you know, two acorns for a rock. So,
oh, I like the story.
Yeah, your chipmunks, there it is. You know, so there is a clarity in me that not making money is really a sign of coming out of the matrix. And what, you know, again, that is not to say that I was not feeling the tension of not making money, but it is, I cannot deny that my father has been tremendously supportive of me not having a lot of money. I mean, significantly lowering my rent, paying things like car insurance when I didn't have it, and Scott, my boyfriend, also, you know, picking up the money for the groceries at our house. And so I can see the organic path and my organic journey supporting me. But what's very interesting is there is a lot to do with my making money has to do with feeling out of control, because I really believe money has a lot to do, and again, I think this is a template. Money has to do with our how we express control or not in the matrix, in the world that we live in. Because a good friend of mine, I can see that she's choosing her guidance to choose marital partners is very much influenced by, she'll, if she's dating somebody with money, that, you know, there's a sense of security. Like, I want things to work out well with them, yet if she's dating some, or if she, you know, starts connecting to somebody who's not making money, you know, the initial thought is, I'll just keep that person as a friend. I wouldn't consider that person as a marriage partner. And I totally get that. But I see it from my perspective. I'm like, see, that's the conditioning, you know, because what I'm experiencing personally is, you know, I was listening to and highly recommend Max Egan's videos. Oh, my God, is that guy just brilliant. And one of the things he brought up was this new, you know, the whole OPPT. Janine, you're aware of this kind of new thing coming in, the OPPT?
Yeah, I'm aware, but really not. Like, I don't know anything about it. Like,
you haven't
only
listened to any videos? Okay.
Right,
so
no.
I've listened to one video pertaining to it, and it was literally, they were talking legalese, and I'm like, okay, you're you know, it was just mind scrambling me. And it has something to do with monies and, you know, forgiveness of debts. It reminded me a lot of Nasara, but again, that was because it was filtering it through my head, where I investigated Nasara 10 years ago. In fact, prior to cashing my first $10,000 check from the credit card company, I was like, I'll either go bankrupt or Nasara will have debt forgiveness.
Yeah.
So, you know, in other words, in my head, I was like, either way, I'm not paying this money back, but I don't know which one it'll be whenever the money runs out. And one of the things that Max Egan said in a video, which was just brilliant, he said that there's one line in this, like, proposal of a bill to come into law. And the line that he was focused on was that, I can't quote the line, you know, verbatim, but essentially what it says is, in corporate language, we answer to no one but our Creator. And that it's written in legalese that it is the corporate world acknowledging we answer to no one but the Creator. And he goes, that's why he supports the OPPT. And he goes, I don't need somebody to promise me money to know that I'm going to be all right. He has a whole area where he's growing his own food. He's very much grassroots inspired and living. And, you know, when he said that, it was like, wow, it was like he got right to the heart of OPPT, you know. And it was like, see, that's a sovereign statement. This is, you know, it's like, and I hear a lot of interviews where people are asking George about it, and George is like, well, you know, I only listen to an hour, one interview for an hour. He goes, I don't really know it either. He goes, but I believe it's in, you know, it's something that's heading in the right direction. And when we have George on Wednesday, I'm going to share this information with him. To tell him that his instincts were spot on, because that one statement, having that in legalese, is essentially what, you know, everybody's up in arms about in all these, you know, awarenesses about who we are and how we're human resources, and America and all the world is corporations, and this one particular line would free us from that. And, of course, you know, and then there's, you know, plenty of other implications, you know, piled on that. But for me, it really is, I like the idea of, you know, I got a job right now. And, yep, I'm going to be making anywhere between, you know, $300 and $400 a week. And for me, I'm telling you, that's like, I'm a millionaire. I mean, this is just, and I'm tracking myself really quite honestly, because the pressure for me is off. But it's interesting. Like Janine was just saying, you know, one of the things she's noticing in this compression is taking afternoons off and taking it easy. And, you know, I was shucks, she called me 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was out like a light when she called.
Right. That's right.
So what's interesting is the job that I have, I'm going to be working 8-hour shifts with a 5-month-old baby that I met the mom, and I met the whole family, the mom, the dad, and the baby, and the mom works from home, and the baby doesn't really nap. She's like, he'll take maybe like a 20-minute nap here and there, but they put him down at 6:30 at night, and he sleeps till 6 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, his rhythm is that he's pretty much up for the 8 hours that I'm going to be with him. And, you know, in all honesty, I don't know if my body can do 16 hours a week on demand, because that's when I'm there and that's what needs to be done. I mean, I'm certainly going to do my best to fulfill this, you know, the requirements. But I'll tell you, this compression, you know, is no joke. I, you know, my back hurts when my back hurts, and I need to go horizontal when that happens, you know, like. So the reason why I'm sharing this is, it's funny because, okay, I got the job, but there's really a place in me, and I love it because me and the mom both said, we'll do a trial period just to make sure this works. And I was actually the one to bring that up, you know, going, because she was saying she had some concerns, and I'm like, I know what my concerns are, and I just voiced them. I didn't voice them to her because I don't want to look like I'm an invalid before she hired me.
Right, right.
But it was absolutely something that was going through my head, and I was like, you know, I might not have the physical stamina to do 8 hours straight 2 days a week. I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna work my I'm gonna cheerlead myself to do it. And it's not like the first sign of pain, I'm not gonna raise my I quit. You know, I mean, I bought a gel pad seat cover. I'm gonna buy a flapjack, which is those seats where you can have a back that you sit on the floor in like a lot of meditation classes and stuff. And you know, I'm supporting myself, but I won't know until I do it. So, and it's very interesting because even like my father, I was like, you know, hi, I got the job, and you know, I want to do this. I want to get a personal trainer and, you know, start working on strengthening my core. And he's like, well, before you start giving all your money away, you know, like, let's make sure you keep the job. You know, and it was like he was so in tune to that and wasn't saying it like, you better keep the job. Like,
right,
I'm raising
right.
your rent. You owe me a lot. It wasn't, he was absolutely in tune with, you know, let's go a month. Let's see how it works after a month because you don't know what's going to happen. And I was like, wow, isn't that the voice of reason, you know, from a man who's normally, I grew up, he was really just about, you know, give me the rent check or get out.
Yeah.
That was my options growing up. So I'm finding that, okay, the pressure is off because I have the job. Other pressures are now on, which are now my physical concerns. But the key is still holding that center and that balance. That is, and it's holding center and balance has so much to do with our ability to see ourselves honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am finding that as I talk with people online, on the phone, you know, I put everything out there. It's like, okay, this is what I'm feeling, and I can feel, you know, there's denial still in people. And I can understand totally not wanting to own something that's what I would call a deficit. I don't want to own that my back is going to hurt. I don't want to own that. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm only 48 years old. I thoroughly expected this kind of issues in my 60s. I wasn't expecting, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I just wasn't expecting this, but okay, but I'm honest with myself. It is the state of my physical condition. It is where I'm at, and so owning it is simply, the best way to put this, there's a humility in owning my deficits. And however it's going to work out, because just so everybody knows too, I'm also applying for a job where I would be a part of a psychic powers, which is a 900 number, so to speak, you know, where they people call up and talk to psychics. My girlfriend does it, and she was making up to $700 a month doing it. And, you know, you talk to a lot of people that are, you know, clearly in the matrix, and, you know, it has its own pitfalls. But I was like, okay, you know, I'm after having a conversation with Janine, it's like, you know what, stay creative, Goldie. Stay creative. And so, because I was like, at first, after I got the nanny gig, I was like, oh, I don't have to do psychic powers. And then I got a hit going, no, you should do it on the weekends, get a feel for it. I mean, and first I got to get accepted. I got to prove that I'm, quote unquote, you know, clairvoyant enough that the people who own this site, which it is definitely a monopoly. I mean, I was involved with my girlfriend who had her own 900 psychic number site, but it was a startup site, and we really never got calls. I don't think I got a single call in like the month that I was involved, but I had the courage to do it. I once again, I'm like, you know, the best part of a job like that, of course, is that I could lay on my back and do phone calls. You know, I could do the time. You know, that wouldn't affect me physically. That would be more of a something on my mental and my emotional bodies, not my physical. You know, it's like everything has its challenges, and I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I really am okay with it. Like I said, I'm doing both. I'm playing with things. Watch, all of a sudden, Goldie's going to be making like $1,000 a week. You know, I'm going to do nannying, I'm going to do psychic work, and then I'm going to build wells in Africa. God bless. So anyways, the whole thing was, I had a conversation with Janine last week, and like, it was so clear to me that as we were talking, Janine was, she could tell, she said something to me, and I just lit up, and it was like,
oh, I know what it was.
What was it?
Find the fat tell, you know, like we were talking about the psychic, the possibilities and the reservations and the pitfalls of, you know, and the challenges of doing
that kind
of work. You as you doing the psychic phone calls. And then, you know, we just talked and it went creative, which was fun. And you immediately felt it. And then it opened up all these authentic possibilities where you actually could, you know, be effective, be yourself, and give. And it was about, I said, yeah, like you could even, you know, they could find a feather because that's a task and it's part of a self-initiation process, and they could be part of, because I believe that being participant in your own process is key to you know, rather than just looking for someone else to do it for you. So that was my idea, and then I could feel, and so could you. You immediately, it was like a moment, like where you got it. And it's always remarkable to me because, you know, even me making the River Goddess YouTube, you know, which was so fun, you know, on Friday and Thursday,
right.
It, even holding the creative tension in this, you know, this compression, that creativity really has life force in it, and it shifts you. You know, you go from the what's not working, it's not working, and then you get these creative moments, and you feel opened, and you feel it. And we both sensed it, and you know, you sensed it, and you, the minute you said, it's like, yeah, we went creative, and it changed. It changed you.
Well,
and,
right, because, right, in my head I'm going, you know, I'm a girl that's getting out of the matrix, you know, I'm on board with God as an alien, I'm on board with ascended masters and angels are all, you know, reptilian beings, and I'm going to go into the matrix on a psychic hotline, you know, like, and one of the things I was telling Janine is every psychic, and not, they're not all psychics. There's clairvoyance and astrology and, you know, tarot readers and, you know, all different types of people. But they have places for the callers to leave comments, and they rate the person's, their experience with the reader. You know, and I immediately went, everybody's going to hate me because I'm going to, you know, what am I going to do, bust their paradigms? You know, it's like,
right.
You know, I'm not of the norm. You know, I'm not going to tell them, yes, your soulmate is around the corner and he's 7 feet tall and he's beautiful and he's going to bring with it $1 million and you're going to be taken care of for the rest of life. You won't have nothing to do. It's just going to be, you know, wonderful and glorious and, you know, and I'm not saying the other psychics are saying that. I'm just saying, you know, I'm definitely not going to be saying that. You know, I'm going to be, you know, guiding them to find the self within, which is, you know, when they call up and go, you know, I don't have a boyfriend and I need a boyfriend. You know, when is he coming? And it's like, you know, well, I'm not quite sure when he's coming, but hey, what, you know, in the meantime, since he's not here, why don't we work on you? Why don't we ask the question of why is it so important that the boyfriend comes? And, you know, because aren't you worth loving? Because it's just being you.
Well, and you know what the interesting, because I had a conversation very brief with someone and potential new client, and this is so interesting that you say that, because really that is the focus, and I got the sense that, well, this was just the line that came to me after, was the relationship with self is depleted. And would so, because people are always looking outside to fix the self.
Absolutely.
And it is always about how is your relationship with self, because that is the distraction. You know, and so I felt that the best way to really help the outside is by, you know, it's almost like, to me, there's the word anemic, which is like, oh, the blood is, you know, needs iron, but it's like the relationship with self is anemic, and it's like you've got right. to feed that, work with it, you know, nurture it, give it attention, and this whole desperation thing will shift, because that's what that is.
It's shifting because somebody shows up. It's shifting because you show up.
Right. Well, that's the whole you know, it's like the focus needs to go into self and feed that relationship with self, and then the whole need for what people are thinking they need on the outside world changes, and it's much more self-sufficient and self-nurturing, and you know, and that's what I loved what you just said before that I caught, was when you said in this compression, and I would say that in this compression I'm feeling this tension, which is okay, because it's creative tension, and all good stuff creativity comes out of attention. Like, you know, and, you know, we can even talk about the whole how when it gets really, like, high, it's like 0 points nearby. But,
yeah.
You know, I just think I'll just paraphrase, but it seemed to me like you said, to stay steady, to stay centered, is to really be honest with yourself about yourself. And I completely agree with that. And that's, once again, the relationship with self. So, and what is there to be afraid of? Really nothing, really, except that, you know, we've all been really enculturated, brainwashed, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, our happiness is outside ourselves. And I just noticed that it's actually gratifying to be honest with yourself. It feels so right. It feels so like you're not selling out. You know, I mean, there's something about being honest with yourself that is that humility thing. But it feels good.
It does feel good.
But I
can understand it not feeling good initially, because it feels good to us because we've surrendered the mind as being the one that makes our decisions for us. We're in our hearts.
Well, see, the truth is, at first, you know, the truth isn't easy, maybe, but as you get accustomed, and that's why the practice of, you know, holding the space, trying to stay steady, being honest with yourself, the more you do that, you know, the word discomfort it shifts. I mean, it still may be like a noticing, like, whoa, what am I feeling? But the whole running away from it changes. You don't run away from it. And that's an interesting shift. And, that you know, I was thinking, you know, I'm going to be doing a show with Golden Hawk tonight, literally in holding this space in this creative tension that I'm really feeling and staying with it, you know. And I was like, well, I wonder what you know, how the show will go with me like that. And, you know, I know you always have insight, and then you take me somewhere, and then I go, oh, yeah. And, you know, it's already happening as we're talking. Mm-hmm. Because I can appreciate that, you know, that the power of being honest with yourself, which it's no longer like, it's no longer an instinct for me to run away from that. That's what I'm trying to say. And so, you know, I'm going, I'm going to be doing a show just like that tonight.
Yeah, no, and that is, that really is, it's so funny because we might not be able to see, like, from the human perspective,
right,
what Janine just shared, we might not be able to see the significance of not running away from her fears or the tension, but sitting with it. But everything inside of me, and I plan on talking to George about this on Wednesday, everything inside of me tells me the beings, like from my perspective, the fourth dimensional beings that are all about the deceiving, you know, all these gods and deities and ascended masters, and when they see, let me put it this way, what they see when someone makes a shift like Janine is speaking about is the authentic radiance that they know they can't touch her.
Right.
And I'm not saying, because do I believe Janine is untouchable by fourth dimensional beings? Absolutely not. I think I just said to her yesterday in our conversation, Janine's heater went out, and Janine didn't have electricity or heat during
Sandy.
Who? Oh, Sandy. Sandy.
The Hurricane Sandy.
And,
right.
You know, it's like, and in all honesty, I think, I'll be honest with you, they target Janine by taking out her, literally, the security of home and heat, and in a way that is, you know, Janine publishes her book herself. Janine is not in a big publishing house. Janine, you know, works her ass off to make not a whole lot of money, but enough money. But it's about integrity, that literally Janine's integrity is the commitment, and the money is second. She didn't sign her soul away to get quote unquote the easy ride to her book. She's doing it. And now, when they see people making these decisions, that's also an indicator, you know, we're going to put some pressure on her, because they know she doesn't have a lot of money. They know that this is a fear, you know, and I'm not speaking out of turn.
No, this is good. This is good.
Yeah, because see, I want people to understand that when you walk the talk of leaving the matrix and doing the organic timeline, that's a lifestyle. That, you know, and that lifestyle is going to challenge you to no end. I mean, George has been challenged in the fourth dimension, but don't think you can't be challenged in the third dimension by fourth dimensional beings.
Right.
Because I can tell you, my whole life I've been challenged. I love children. I have no kids. You know, I mean, I've always wanted to be married with the white picket fence, and I mean, I love Scott, and truth is, we did do a soul ceremony, and I'm grateful for that, and I love my baby, but, you know, I never walked down the aisle and, you know, did the white dress and had the major party. That didn't happen for me. These are things that, you know, whether I discuss it a lot or not, I wish I had. I mean, clearly, I wish I had a kid, even though at this point, I'm getting so clear in this compression that it's like, this lifetime wasn't about me having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't. And there's some things surrounding that I'm not going to share tonight, but at some point we're going to do a show and I'm going to share it. So I don't know when, but we will. and it's what I brought up last week about certain things sexually that happened to me, and I will share that, and that just not tonight. So anyways, so my point about this is, you know, even though they're taking, you know, and, you know, you could go, how do you know it's fourth-dimensional beings taking Janine's heat and electricity away? Instincts. That's how I know it. That's how I know what. That's how I know when it's happening to me. See, and this is what's important about the connection with Mother Earth. That no matter, you know, if I hear people say, I don't have time to go outside, I mean, friends, I highly recommend you make the time to go outside. Because what Mother Earth brings into our experience, literally into us, is the intuition to be able to read subtle energies. And
If you live organically, just
in decision-making, in decision-making. And this is a critical part of the... Because it's so easy to fall back into the conditioning of the matrix. I mean, listen, this isn't, it's not like this is the first lifetime that the matrix has been around. The matrix has been around for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. You know, I mean, it's so funny. I mean, history says we've only been alive for 6,000 years. I mean, please, what a crock of shit that is. We all know intuitively, and the people listening to this radio show, we know there's Atlantis and Lemuria that are at least 12,000 years old, and it goes beyond that. I mean, we've been populating this planet for more than 6,000 years, as the religions would have us believe, and there's never been a time that the Matrix wasn't here first. You know, the Matrix is the reptiles. And it's so funny. It hit me the other day, you know. If you look at the reptiles like the alligator and the shark, and I have nothing against those animals personally. What's so amazing is they haven't changed in like 12 million years. Like they are the... It's so funny how evolution has worked on all these other, you know, the... Certain things have come from the water, maybe onto land, and, you know, certain other animals, you know, lose their size or gain their size. Even the dinosaurs were reptilian. You know, what I'm beginning to learn is that, you know, there's the truth. They were here first. And I don't quite know how the human genode or the human template, let's you know, that's what I said we were going to talk about today, templates. I'm not quite sure how that got, quote-unquote, seeded on this planet, but I know it was after the reptilians. And, you know, they're, just from their perspective, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we came in and, you know, they were kind of like, hey, like, what the hell are you doing here? You know, and we didn't just come. We came and, you know, we kind of, I'm sure, in our own beautiful way, started taking things over. And they were like, oh, no, 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 no. And so they started in their subliminal taking us over. But anyways, I really don't want to talk about history because I don't have enough information on that. But I think it's important for, like, when I hear Janine talking... There is a commitment to the integrity of her life, and I can tell you, all of us, if you're seriously committed to leaving the matrix, this isn't the easy ride. It isn't, and the judgments on yourself, you know, it's like one of the things I was, again, talking to a friend of mine, you know. If you're battered and you're beaten and you're poor, you're right on schedule. You know, it's like that is the signs that you're coming out of the matrix. Because it's not, coming out of the matrix isn't just about not having money. Coming out of the matrix is about, literally, there's energies that if you feel good in the matrix, which is an upside-down world that really does support death. I mean, God knows, cigarettes and, you know, like, there's so many poisons we drink and we eat. And if you're healthy in the matrix, that means coming out of the matrix, you're going to get sick in the transition until you're acclimated completely into the organic. I mean, that from a systematic point of view, for me anyway, it's just it's like that's so clear. So my state of health being that I have backaches and my joints hurt, and you know I don't digest anywhere near as well as I used to, and I'm lactose intolerant, and these changes that are coming about in the last 2 to 5 years are because I've really been upping the ante of getting out of the matrix. This is getting out of the matrix is it's not, you know, it's not for the weak need. It's for the warrior and the sword carrier. I mean, George said he had fibromyalgia for like 10 years. He was bedridden for like 3 of them. It's part of the, it's almost an initiation, but the key is when you're committed, you really, see, you start flipping things. Everything starts flipping. I'm not looking for my health to tell me that I'm doing, that I'm on my soul's journey. I know my soul, I am connected with my soul because I choose to be, not because I choose, because I put myself in Mother Nature. And effortlessly, after I put myself in the physical world of Mother Nature, which means there's no electrical wires, you know, because it doesn't have to be the forest. If you like the beach, go to the beach. You know, if you like the mountains, go to the mountains. The meadows, it doesn't matter where you go. It's just the idea that you go into Mother Nature, and she works energetically to, like, on a daily basis or weekly basis, she's unhooking the matrix like thong or prongs. It's like the matrix prongs me like a diamond being held, you know, in a setting. And I go to the woods, and the prongs, the artificial cannot trump the organic. But yeah, you have to put yourself in the organic in order to unprong yourself. And this isn't, you just don't do this once or have a vacation for 2 days or even go on a sabbatical for 3 months. It's constant because it's relentless. I mean, yeah, it's funny, the artificial is relentless, but the truth is, so is the organic. The organic never says, hey, stop coming. You know, how many times do I got to unprong you? You know, Mother Nature is always welcoming me, going, and I can feel it. Every time I come into the woods, I really feel that the spaces that I go to, which I go to often, are like, hey, come on in. Sit down, take a load off. You know, it's the love I never got from the human species. It's sincerely unconditional. And it
can even be somewhat, and you know, I never mind the unexplainable, because I, you know, some things that are mysterious, that's okay with me. But you know, it is how it works, why it works. It just does. And
absolutely,
I think you gave a great explanation about the organic and the it just kind of helps that where we get snagged in or snagged into the matrix, we don't even realize it.
Right.
But it absolutely does work, and what ends up happening, it just becomes a way of life, and
exactly,
and that, you know, which is that natural thing. But also, just a little indication would be, and I see it a lot, is if there's resistance, then you know, then if you're being honest with yourself, you see the resistance and you go, I really need to get out there. Because, you know, that resistance is part of the addiction to the matrix, to the artificial, and, you know, just, and so, you know, I'm so much telling people, get out there, and it's amazing how many people don't. I see it so much, and I was with my guy, we're building a website for my new book, and Alan, and I think we met Sunday, and I had run earlier, and you know, I was feeling really good, so oxygenated, and you know, he looked out the window, because he knew I had run, and he looked out the window, and he goes, look how no one's ever outside anymore. And we did, and we looked out. It was a Sunday. It was gorgeous. And there wasn't one kid in the neighborhood, because he lives in a neighborhood. Nobody was outside. Nobody. And, like, when I was little, everyone was outside.
Well, you were told, you know, go play. Go outside.
Get outside. I said, yeah, look at the trees. No one's climbing trees. No one. And literally nobody was outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just so artificial.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's a web guy, and he goes, you know, yeah, that's part of doing some of the, you know, getting your book out there, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm outside pretty much every day out there in the park and the green and the meadows and seeing the deer and breathing
the
air.
And the snow. Winter doesn't stop us.
Yeah. I was walking in the snow and, you know, there's
snow walking,
showing.
Snowshoeing even.
Snowshoeing, snow walking, running in the snow. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously it brings out the complete kid in you as well, but which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, Golden Hawk's laughing when I said, well, I pulled in the driveway and there was the red-tailed hawk sitting on the right by my front door. And, you know, then the next night there was like a herd of deer on my front lawn. And, you know, you just, I mean, it just being touched that close by the wildlife, there's something about that I feel so much a part of that organic. And, you know, so there we are. We're just noticing no one's outside, and it's like, God, get out there. You know, I think that's a big move. That's a movement that would be very effective and helpful for
guarantee. All you got to do is put your physical body in
nature.
And
it's free.
It's free. I mean, shy of, I don't know how you get there. So it might cost a couple of pennies.
Well, no, sometimes, you know, there's parks near me. There's backyards. I mean,
you know,
shy of running shoes, which, of course, you know, to keep my feet healthy and stuff. But,
It's not a $1,000 course that we're telling you to, you know, go sign up and do. I mean, and I'm telling you, the changes it makes are not just the subtle changes. They're the radical changes that allow me, and this is what I'm starting to realize about the templates.
Okay.
Okay, so it has, being in nature has given me the awareness, and I mean a crystal clear awareness, a knowing, let's put it that way. I have a knowing that the matrix runs on anti-life. I mean, it does. Everything about the matrix is about death.
Right.
It feeds on death. It promotes death. Like me and Janine were just saying that the time change, daylight savings change, that's all based on business and corporations. And, you know, they don't do it at 10 o'clock at night or midnight. No, they do it at 2 o'clock in the morning so the bars can stay open, because it's all about making their money. Everything, it's all, and money, it's so ironically anti-life, because money is not distributed based on passion. Money is distributed based on, and you got to be an engineer, a doctor, or a, what are the money makers? A lawyer, you know, all the things. What do these, you know, and I'm not saying that we don't want engineers and doctors and lawyers, but the truth is all three of those professions feed the matrix. So the teachers and the nurses, and nurses do make good money, but oh my God, and Janine will speak from this, what they go through, I mean, there's literally, all you have to do is watch the movie Patch Adams to see that there's no respect. They're second class and compared to the doctors. It's the woman's job. They work their fucking asses off. And doctors, you know, who had all this schooling, you know, they come around and they make their rounds. And listen, I'm Jewish. I have a doctor in my family who I actually saw stand up in the middle of a family dinner after his parents literally mortgaged their house and went into hock so they could pay for his schooling to become a doctor. And he stood up at this dinner and said, everybody at this table isn't intelligent enough to have a conversation with me.
And he
left the table, and I was the only one who found him outside and said, you're a fucking asshole. You know, like, I can't, I'm so disgraced that you're a part of this family.
Wow.
I'm disgraced. And it's so funny because he's the oldest cousin and I'm the youngest cousin. It was so, and you know, and since then he's done anger management. He had a lot of reptilians. He's actually living in Hawaii now. He's a guy I like. He's a guy I like. And he actually at one point quit medicine for like 3 years because he had to clear himself. He was, because there's a lot of propaganda that, you know, they really do as doctors, they're told they're gods. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
So anyways, back to the Matrix being anti-life. So once you know that the Matrix is anti-life, okay, so first what I did is, first I noticed the things that, you know, okay, smoking cigarettes. That's something that is, you know, I knew it was bad for me, but for the longest time I couldn't quit. But as it became in my awareness that, you know, you are really killing yourself here, I did quit. And boy, was very difficult addiction to quit. Cocaine was much easier for me, anyways, than cigarettes. Just absolutely challenging for me to quit that. Okay, and another thing though that's anti-life,
yeah,
was codependent relationships. People are like, oh, that's not anti-life. Oh, absolutely, that's anti-life, because what it is I won't support my own being. I'm going to put a cord into my partner, and mm-hmm. you're going to support me. And that's a vampire.
My life depends on it.
literally.
And
I'm talking codependent relationships. The last one I'm learning to unplug from in present day is the people that supply my paychecks. I am learning to unplug from those experiences, which I had a major breakthrough from Anya's mother. Me and her were dancing the dance of codependency, and it was, I didn't want to work there anymore. I mean, I was going over there and I wasn't feeling good about it, and it, you know, it's what I posted today about Donna Merkich brought up, that, you know, we have all these challenges coming up in our compression.
Yeah.
So we can see what needs to be healed or flipped or
yep. I read that. That was really good.
It was brilliant
because that's what I'm experiencing.
Well, and it's what everybody's experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
I tell Janine, I believe we're experiencing this because of literally where the solar system is in conjunction to the Milky Way galaxy. It's a frequency that there are no secrets. You can't, denial does not feel good anymore. That's why I go, everything about these times right now supports the humility. The only thing we need to do is trust that when we when we can allow ourselves to see where we are in the Matrix, then in that allowing it, we can then shift the action and the behavior that keeps us there. You can't shift the behavior until you accept that that's where you are. I mean, and that's Eckhart Tolle's work, you know. And you can't resist what is, because it is, you know, like, so why would we want to resist it? But there's so much mind going, you know, but I'm not a bad person. It's like, you're not a bad person because you're in the Matrix.
That you say that, because, what, you know, I think that you're saying that the artificial and the Matrix really are about the addiction or the to anti-life, and then if you were to really stay with your process and look at yourself, that is not anti-life. That is, you know, pro-life, or what would the word be for that?
Life-enhancing?
Life-enhancing, yeah. Like, like Hawkins' list, when it, you know, when it goes exactly. over 200, he definitely calls it something like that. So, you know, I think that that's your, you know, you're on to, I mean, I'm really enjoying that you're on to something with the, you can almost then, you get, like, it's like a barometer. You can literally, like, sense what's anti-life and what's life-enhancing almost, like, instantly, you know, because
exactly.
I think when you're in the organic and, you know, you're outside and you're connected to nature and, you know, your nature's, like, absorbing, you know, I go out there and I move and
it's
then,
a template. It's because nature is the template of life itself. Without any, it's just the trees are either alive or they're dying or they're dead.
Right.
You know, the birds are either alive, they're dying, or they're dead. But there's no judgment about even if you're dying or are dead. You know what I'm saying? That it's just left there. It's there's no interference. It is the template of life itself.
Right, and there's no propaganda. I mean, there's no, like,
exactly.
you know what I mean? There's no, it's just what is. You're right. And so, but I like that. I like that, you know, because that's another.
See, but there's the template again.
There's right. another great insight, though, just in the conversation tonight where, you know, it's cool when you can define what you're feeling and what, you know, where, when I can, or you can, we can just sense. It's almost like, you know, what is anti-life and what is life-enhancing? It's very cool. You know, I just...
It's what allows you to... Because, see, just knowing that it's like stage one is you start looking around and you can see what's anti-life. Because and anti-life is not... I don't need to fight.
Well, it's artificial.
It's artificial, definitely. But I don't need to fight anti-life. I simply need to align. Exactly. Because, see, part of being in the Matrix is it has you fighting. Pick a side. What's right? What's wrong? What's light? What's dark? What's evil? What's good? And it's like, believe it or not, that fighting, no matter what side you're on, is anti-life.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a misuse of energy. And the subtleties to just go and align with life enhancing takes a finesse that is, I mean, in all honesty, I'm amazed when I do it.
Yeah.
Because it is one of those, what I would call, like, when I used to be a student of Al Means, or when I used to be a student of Crimson Circle, there were times when I would hear a channeling and I would go, oh my God, that truth is a razor's edge truth. Like, it's like, if you said one the out of place or one and out of place, it would fall off the razor's edge. But it was like, it was just this perfection of truth that inherently I knew. It's like the space of Zen. You know, it's not the top, it's not the bottom, it's the exact center. That is the kind of finesse needed to get to change your actions to get out of the Matrix. I mean, it's and again, every step you take that's Zen or centered will draw attention to you. It you're going to feel good in the moment, but, you know, that doesn't mean that the fourth dimensional beings that don't want you leaving the Matrix won't, you know, you won't show up on some kind of screen or whatever it is, and it's like, oh, see that? Okay, you know, throw them, you know, like the night I was reading about the reptilians using frequency weapons, and the way to work your way around that was to sit in water and have it propelling on your body for 20 minutes. And as soon as I read that, I was on the phone with Janine. I'm like, I'm going to the Y. I'm going to sit in my jacuzzi, because if they're doing it to me, who cares? I've got the Y. And for the next 7 days, the jacuzzi is broken. I'm telling you, when your perception is on this razor's edge, you go, that's not a coincidence. So for the next 7 days in my world, now I don't have the one thing that I just read is helping me. Let me rephrase that. I don't have a tool that's helping me, because the truth is I still have Mother Nature, and when I go there, the weapons simply don't work when I place my physical body in amongst those trees. If they're beaming it at me, I don't feel it. I don't. I simply feel a peaceful presence in the now. I'm telling you, I have sat in the woods and gone in with like achy knees or, you know, tightness in my back or stomach aches or headaches. And at this point, because it's over 10 years that I've been going to the woods, it's closing on 13 years, within seconds of being around those beings, I'm smiling and telling everybody, hi, I love you, you know, I'm here, you know, it's amazing. But there's both going on. The woods have it, but 7 days, the jacuzzi breaks down after I read in a paper that they're using, you know, frequency beings. This is where you can't be fragile. This
right.
It's not a fragile journey. This isn't the China doll. This is about getting battered and beaten, you know what I mean, and tore up, and you know, and going. And it's, I'm telling you, I kept calling the Y every day. Is it open? Is it on? Is it on? Okay, just let me know. Is it on? And today it's on. I went down there, and the funny part was my swipe card. It's a swipe card to get into the women's center, the part where they have the jacuzzi and the steam room. Didn't work.
Again?
No. Well, that
day
that
one time when the lady kept saying, keep trying or something, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it just made me laugh because it's like, okay, now the jacuzzi's on, but I can't get in. It's like, which, do I believe that was reptilian? Absolutely, because later on, I went to the desk and said, listen, I was shown another entrance that's a keypad entrance. You don't need the card, but you got to walk through the showers. And when, you know, I got boots on and, you know, I don't want to walk through the showers. I want to walk through the other door. But, you know, I got in that night. But, and then when the girl went, she took my card. She goes, oh, it works. I went, it didn't work for me. You know, and she goes, well, did you try and turn it up, you know, turn it, you know, the other way? And I went, yes, I'm not an idiot. You know, like,
yeah.
You know. And then she did say, did you try swiping down to up? And I went, okay, that I didn't try. I tried both sides swiping, you know, but I didn't try swiping up. But the truth is, they didn't want me in there. You know, you're going to be challenged. And this is why I can't emphasize enough. You got to make friends with challenge. You got to, because if you think it's going to be a cakewalk getting out of the matrix, you're already delusional. I'm not trying to be harsh. I mean, this is fourth dimensional beings that are brilliant, that have been consciously aware of this game for at least 12,000 years. We'll just call it from the Atlantean times. So at least 12,000 years, they have been planning this time right now to incorporate the most pressure, and you know, they're in our food, our water, our religion, our education, our pharmaceutical, our medicine. They're in everything. So if you can't inside yourself go, because I'm going to talk to George about this too. See, when me and Janine talk, we know it's us leaving the matrix. We are choosing to leave the matrix. We're not, you know, the assistance that Janine gives me is the moral support that, okay, when the jacuzzi's down for 7 days, or when Janine's heat is down for a few days, you know, we look at her and go, you all right? It's like, yeah, it's Mother Nature. It's like, all right, babe, yep, I got your back. I know. We don't go give up, go, you know, go to the book signing, you know what I mean? Go to the major, Harper's Bazaar, whatever. You know, we don't say that to each other. We just support each other in our down times by going, this too shall pass. You know, we'll get through it. Don't worry. We'll get through it. And, you know, it's real. It's real. It's not, You know, it's not even a question whether we would go. I mean, because I'll be honest, I have heard people go, you know, like, remember in the movie The Matrix, the guy who sold out the other guys and said, you know, I want to come back in, and I want to be somebody important, and I want to make a lot of money, because he was giving up Neo and the crew, and he started killing everybody. I know people that, you know, were channeling at one point, and, you know, now they're shopping.
Shopping?
Well, remember the I don't want to mention any names, but they used to come on my show and channel and give all practical information on how to do life. And then she left channeling, and I've seen her on Facebook, and I don't know what she... I think she's dancing, which is nice, but she could have danced.
Which is nice.
well, meaning she's... But she's very much... She's in the Matrix. I can... You know, and I'm like, wow, you... It was too much. I mean...
I love what George said that last time. He said it in an interview, but then he said it when he was on with us, and it reminds me of the finesse that you're talking about, and the natural propensity just to know the life enhancing and the organic, because you've done the work, you keep meeting the challenges, you hold the space. You're in the authentic self, the outside, because the irony is, as George said, then you got to go back in the Matrix.
Well, exactly.
and that's where the finesse and the natural, when it literally is so, it's so a part of you that you live inside the Matrix but outside the Matrix, or you live organically, because it's who you are, and that's the change masters, and that's the people that are really effective. And this is masterful, it's artful, it's an ongoing. You know, I always look at people if people just look a little tired, I go, that's good, because
exactly.
It's not easy.
Exactly.
You know, when someone looks too perfect and too rested and just like I'm like, nah, I don't trust. You know, it just doesn't seem authentic to me. You know, it's pretty rough going here. You know, and so I always go, I'm a little tired. You know, that's good. That's a good sign.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Because this is, you know, these are the times, and so.
Well, and the truth is, the Matrix, see, this is what's so funny. The Matrix is serving the organic, because my triggers are in the Matrix. My triggers
right, and
are
that,
not
that's why
in the
that
forest.
Article or whatever that was that you posted, and someone else posted it too, I think. But did Kevin post it?
Probably.
Someone else posted
it. He liked it. Yeah.
Oh, he liked it. Okay. But I thought that was really good, because... That is right, that the Matrix is working for the organic, because the triggers are key to... And the,
key.
The,
they are key.
And what the brilliance is when you recognize these are important triggers so that you can move on without, you know, and that's the only way you can move on, is when you recognize them, that they are triggers and that they serve a purpose and that... Yeah,
well,
so,
because the triggers are about what I need to balance. See, you know, then we go to the other shows where we talked about, you know, listen, when we were coming into these dimensions, we were like hog wild in our creativity. I mean, there was nothing to stop us. We had no karma. We were just coming into it. And, you know, in truth, we created things that I don't think we were so conscious of, how it affected the environment, how it affected other kingdoms. We didn't know. I mean, truly, we didn't know, but that doesn't mean what we did didn't have repercussions to other kingdoms and environment. That now that we're on our way out of these dimensions, well, before you leave, there's something you need to bring back home, and that is, we've got to feel what the other kingdoms felt when we were, you know, kicking up our heels hog wild coming in. Now it's our turn to feel what those kingdoms felt. Back into balance is all about. And that is not a punishment.
No.
It's
kind of like
autonomy. It's not, well, it is. I mean, but I look at it and go, See, that's why everybody that's still in the Matrix now creating, you know, Hog Wild, it lets you know there's a divinity of, I don't need to punish anybody. Life.
Right.
They can't leave until they're ready to take their stuff in, too. You know, this is, it's the ultimate in organic justice. So, you know, again, it's about, you know, don't whine about, you know, you created and you stepped on toes. You know, they kind of say, take it like a man. You know, like, because the wisdom, and again, this is wisdom you will know if you spend time in nature, you'll know it is actually yours to take. And here's the paradox. When you allow yourself to sit in the pain that is yours, that you created, the reptilians, again, can't touch you. Here's when you're vulnerable. When you run from your pain, oh, then they can have a field day with you.
Right.
But if you sit in your pain and you own it, and you don't, you know, you own it by just sitting there. You don't, it doesn't come in and then you call up a friend and dump on them, or, you know, start a fight with the counter girl, or kick the cat, or whatever it is. When you take the pain in and own it consciously, this is mine, okay, and just let it come back home, because it's coming back to source.
Mm.
Again, you might not see your radiance from that, but when you're doing that, the reptilians, I'm telling you, it's like going supernova. They,
mm-hmm.
And why do you think they work so hard in the Matrix to keep you distracted from owning your own pain? I mean, because when I hear people say, I don't know what my purpose is. What is my purpose? Your purpose is to take yourself back into wholeness. If indeed your journey is at this point, if the time has come to leave the Matrix, and if that's what you're committed to, taking yourself back into wholeness says, okay, you know, we've lived the good life, so to speak. Now it's time to live. It's not that it's just a bad life. It's, I truly believe in my heart, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm so close to knowing it. What the pain that we're taking in is what other beings felt when we didn't realize that, you know, if we built a parking lot, all the animals and all the insects underneath would die. We didn't know that. It was naive, but naive doesn't change the fact that if we built the parking lot and all those insects died, well, then maybe we need to have a ceiling on how much we can create, and we need to sit and do absolutely nothing and have a death of sorts, because that's equilibrium. That's balance, you know?
Yeah, that's good, Goldie.
Can you tell I'm passionate about this?
No, it's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah,
and it's so timely. And I noticed on Facebook, so funny. I just checked it out, and someone else posted that's being posted a lot today. And you know, because it is so timely, that whole trigger and noticing it, and it's kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's ironic how. Because here's one other thing that I want to share, too. Me and Jay were talking yesterday. You know, the more compression we go through, here's the paradox. The closer to 0 point we get, and this was how I saw it yesterday. Okay, so I'm going to reach a point in time where, I'm going to say Janine, too, because I know... Me and Janine are going to reach a point in time where we are going to have full recognition and memory of our alien experiences, abductions, infiltrations, you know, being on tables, being raped, being prodded and poked, and being killed, and having our spirits sucked into black boxes and put into clones. I mean, the whole gamut. We're gonna come into full memory of all of it. And in that divine moment of remembering everything that has altered this lifetime for us, as well as things that I think came from other lifetimes, in that divine moment when the floodgates are flowing and our fears are confirmed, that will be the moment that the zero point will happen in our experience. And within that moment of infinity, of feeling that to the depth of our soul, will then be permanently situated in the fifth dimension. I mean, it will be the catalytic moment of the extreme pain of all our fears being acknowledged, recognized, and experienced, and the extreme ecstasy that we're complete. I know that. I just know that. And again, what I want to put out there for everybody, I believe that's a template. I believe that all of us that are, from a soul point of view, are leaving this matrix, and you guys know who you are. You just do. The closer we get to remembering everything that scares the living shit out of us is also, paradoxically speaking, the closer we're going to get to never have to dealing with this level of polarity ever again. It'll be literally the yin-yang symbol. It'll be the light with the dark in the dot, and it'll be the dark with the light. And in that yin-yang, it'll be in motion. Oh, God, I'm getting serious chills right now. it will alchemize, and it will be the divine balance.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking all this is, you know, our conversation yesterday, watching that guy Simon, just all last week, holding the, you know, noticing the tension, and, you know, whether there's triggers going on, you know, and, you know, first the heat going off, and that wasn't major, but then trying to figure out how to get new heat. And that, you know, and I figured it out, and it worked out great, and that was pretty wild how, you know, they go, well, have you considered trying to get zero financing? Oh, okay. So they're, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, so that worked, you know, and
there it is.
But today, you know, I'm in my, and this isn't a new realization, but I would say it's even more of a realization that I, you know, I wrote the book, The Magic Gown, which is, if you read it, it's about a little girl who's 11, who when she's little, she's by a waterfall, and she gets surrounded by hummingbirds, and she disappears, and you know, she ends up back in her bed with silver flat. And, you know, and in my living room right now where I'm sitting, there's the art piece of the real magic gown, which, so, I, you know, I knowingly, and Goldie's going to love this, but, you know, I'm realizing more and more, this isn't a complete new realization, but more and more I'm going, boy, that story of the magic gown and Lily is so much about my reality that I wasn't really probably prepared to understand or accept. So it became so much part of my fictionalized story, but it's really so much about me and my experiences of probably those leaving here and being in other realms and, you know, with other beings. And because if you read the book, you'll see that's a lot of it. And, you know, the spinning, because she goes up these spiral staircases. And, you know, and that book was written when I was coming out of my marriage, which was a huge trigger of facing, you know, talk about, like, just putting me in the ultimate initiation of facing myself, being sovereign, getting over old identities, letting go of codependent things, just facing major fear. So you know, and that's when this amazing process happened. But now I look at it and I go, boy, is that's so much about me, You know, and I, it's not like I didn't know that before, but now I really know it.
And well, because it's so, layers of the onion, right? You know it from a deeper perspective,
yeah,
as well
so,
as a
yeah,
more sovereign
so
perspective.
I do, and you know, but today, you know, not even thinking of our show or what you would talk about or, you know, what, but I was thinking about that today, going, man, if that's just, and, you know, listening to Simon, and I'm going, that's so much about how I bring out those experiences in my own way, writing them in a fictionalized story about a young girl, but they're really so much about me.
Right.
And,
on.
You know, and,
what? Now, and I said, right on. Now, see, and that is another, that's a template that I want. We all bring out our experiences. Like I have a girlfriend, my girlfriend who is part of Psychic Powers. She's been working the telephone lines for 3 years. She told me that all her callers that call her, the people that choose her extension, you know, to get readings,
yeah,
are all asking questions about situation she's going through.
Yeah.
That is not a coincidence. That is the mirror of life that is beyond the matrix. It's the mirror of life that uses the matrix to show you yourself. So
right.
The way to truly work that mirror is, it's so easy. What pisses you off? What pisses you off about your friends, your family, your loved ones, your kids, your husband, your wife? What bothers you? What just aggravates the shit out of you? Because
yeah,
that's the mirror. And, you know, because I wrote in one of my posts, you know, if you don't know what to do, like, here, I'll give you the perfect example. I've been having a dry spell in finding a job where I like the parents, I like the kid, it's a good situation, for over closing in on 3 years. You know, I had a couple of jobs where I found jobs and I thought they were good, and you know, and then they didn't pay me. You know, that's clearly not good. You don't want to have a job that's great but doesn't pay. Then it's not great. And one thing that I did last week, in my compression, I helped a friend of mine apply for jobs online because, you know, he's a pretty basic guy. He doesn't, you know, he's got a cell phone, but his whole family, they don't do computers at all. They're not technologically inclined. And here's the worst part. He's got to find a job because he owes child support, and his ex-wife is a bitch. Because when he doesn't have money, she throws him in jail. And so now he's got to find a job with a record because he's in hard times right now. I mean, jobs don't exactly come up, you know, they're not easy to find, and he's a real deep soul. He's a tormented soul if I ever saw one. God bless him. But I literally and it was interesting the way it came across because he showed up on my cell phone when I was in the woods as a missed call, and I called him. He didn't pick up, and then he called me back, and I said, you know, did you call me before? And he goes, no, I'm returning your call. And I go, really? And that's when he goes, and I didn't pick up when you called because I'm at this, like, agency place where, you know, they're helping me get kind of situated online, and he goes, I was trying to fill out this application and it timed out, and you know, and then all the information I put in, I lost. And I was like, I go, dude, I got a computer, you know, I'll help you out. And you know, he's not driving right now, and I was like, I'll pick you up, you know, we'll come to my house, let's fill out some applications, you know, no problem. But it was like, I mean, I haven't heard from this guy, you know, I've known him since I'm 15, but you know, he's in a bad space, and personally, where he can't wrap his mind around the things that I share on the show, and yet he can, but not into his own field. It's like he's like, I need to make money so I can help my kids and basically stay out of jail. And I said to Janine, it struck me so profoundly. I went, you know, I told you I was in a lot of compression last week,
mm-hmm.
And I so got the message, and I said it to Janine. I went, you know, One way to feel better, help somebody else get what I want. Let me help him find a job, even though my compression is around not having enough money. You know, as son of a bitch. I mean, I got the job on Saturday, and this is the first time I got it in the interview, right there on the spot. The money I want, the out. I mean, it was like, wow. I mean, you can't help but scratch your head and go, you know, if I had known that, I would have looked for homeless, jobless people a year ago.
It does work like that. It does.
It does.
And you know, that's that life enhancing thing that you're even. That is life enhancing. You know, naturally.
Well, because remember, I don't know what he never called me. I don't know what initially made me see his number as a missed call. That was the woods.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah, because I wasn't seeing that. That divinity, and like I said, because if I had saw that divinity, I would have done it a year ago.
That's the part where, you know, you could go multidimensional, unexplainable, what, you know.
Right.
Because even with the heat, you know, I don't have heat, it's not a good story, and I won't be having it probably for 4 days, but somehow naturally, the man who came to see the heat on Saturday, when I heard he had an 8-year-old daughter, I was like, oh, I have two books. I'm going to sign them to your daughter. I may not have heat, but your daughter's going to have two books. And, you know, and this all played out. I just did that just naturally. And then, you know, here I am on Tuesday not having heat and not knowing how I'm going to pay for it, and then, you know, the zero financing comes in, and it's great. You know, it's like...
Well, and it came in from the guy who you gave the books to. That's the key of that story.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So it's just, like, funny things how it works out, and, you know, and it is life-enhancing to me. When you look at it now, you can look back and go, that is not anti-life. That is... pro-life, enhancing
life. Well, that's
life.
Alignment with life, because,
right,
you know, you hear all about these law of attraction things, and it's like, you know, I'll be honest with you, it cracks me up when, you know, the people that are selling the law of attraction of, you know, you can have the life you want, you know, you just need to have positive thoughts. Mm. And, you know, that's what I would call misrepresentative truth.
Yeah.
Because the law of attraction works under one condition, when you're aligned with your soul.
Yeah.
And I can promise you, see, I don't think my soul ever intended for me to have a child this lifetime. That's a soul. For whatever the reason. So I can be as positive as I want about having a child and have all these great thoughts and but I'm not going to have one. You don't get what your soul doesn't intend for you in this lifetime. And and another thing was, you know, everybody has it that the soul only wants to experience positive experiences. Oh my God, if that is not, that is a matrix lie. That is a deception to the nth degree. Because remember, the soul knows what needs to be balanced. It is coming from the perspective, as Janine so eloquently shared with me and you guys briefly, from the galaxy point of view. I mean, our soul knows what environments we stepped on, what you know, species we kicked around and might have made go extinct or whatever. You know, it doesn't even have to be that extreme. Our soul knows all the things we did coming in. And if the soul is going, and yes, this is the lifetime you're going to leave the matrix and you're going to go into the next level, which is the fifth dimension, then the soul's gonna hand you plenty of challenges. And here's the irony. Through the multidimensional beings that are in the fourth dimension that quote unquote want to control us, they're using them because they're the perfect characters in the story to do the dirty work.
Right.
When you look at it that way, you just scratch your head and go, I mean, like, damn, that's just perfection. Because, you know, it fits so beautifully in this puzzle of soul and divinity from the organic perspective. Nothing is out of place. Nothing doesn't fit. There's no victim. I am not a victim of my own life. I mean, and since coming into alignment with the soul, accepting that the soul has created negative experiences for me, and when I say the soul, meaning it's just the part of me that remembers that I created them, you know, as a fourth dimensional being or a third dimensional being or a second dimensional being or a first dimensional being, whatever it was. It's not that it created it for me and it's punishing me as a third dimensional being. It just simply remembers the truth of what I created. And by the way, I'm going to share this very honestly. When people say that, you know, why would we come to an experience like this? I'm going to be quite honest with you. I enjoy being dark. And I think anybody that says I don't enjoy being dark, I think you're lying. I think you're lying and you're in the matrix and you're afraid to own that part of yourself. But I'm telling you, beating a system, I mean, for me, beating the system has always been the challenge. Of I worked at a bank and they were like, bank has all these checks and balances when it comes to their money, so quote unquote, so you could never steal money from the bank as an employee. That's not true. I stole money from a bank when I worked at the I worked at a bank for 3 years when I was 18 to 21, and the way you steal money from a bank, I'll just give you the side note, is customers write, they give you 7 checks and all these things, and they go, and I want $50 back from this. And they miscalculate. They're supposed to get $150 back. So you take the $100, you pocket it, and you give them the $50. They're happy. They don't bitch. But it was incorrect.
You're wild.
I'm just telling you, there's always a way. When they said the Titanic could not be sunk, really. I mean, like, if that's not a challenge to go out and sink that goddamn boat, I don't know what is. I mean, the bottom line is, if you've ever been dark, I mean, I sold cocaine to cops, to police officers. And if you ask any drug dealer, the quickest ones that'll turn on you are cops. First they'll buy it from you, and then they'll throw you in the joint. That never happened to me because I was smart enough to. They always wanted me sexually, but I never slept with them. It was brilliant. So they always wanted me, and therefore they never turned me in. And they actually protected me when DEA and stuff showed up. So, but if you love challenges, be honest with yourself. It is truly okay to say you love the dark side of this experience, because the dark side is. It's not what it's been portrayed to be. It is, but in all honesty, if you feel that you're a bad person because you have a dark side, you haven't heard it from Mother Nature's point of view. You really haven't, because it's a fascinating world and universe and cosmos and reality. True reality is just fascinating from all perspectives, and you know, and let's put it this way, from a creative perspective. I mean, some of the greatest movies I've ever seen. Did you ever see the movie? It's with Robert De Niro when they robbed that a Swedish bank or something of a king's scepter.
No.
Can't remember the name of it, but it's a story where they plan this robbery, and somebody involved in the robbery, right during the robbery, goes to screw. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm gonna mess this up for people who haven't seen it. I don't want to do
that.
That's
all right.
Is it all right? Because I want to do it. Well, anyway, one of the guys goes to double cross Robert De Niro, and you know, and so he basically sets Robert De Niro up and goes, you know, the cameras are coming on. He takes the scepter and he runs out on him, and Robert De Niro is scrambling to A, not get caught being in this space, and then of course, you know, the guy who ran out has the scepter. And when it's all said and done, Robert De Niro did get out, and he had already pre-planned that when the guy thought he had what he had, he didn't. He had a piece of pipe. He had a pipe.
Oh, right.
And Robert, and of course, when the guy figured that out, when they he kind of was like, hey, I was just joking. You know, because, of course, if he played it straight, he would have had a piece of, like, $7 million or whatever it was. And and Robert De Niro goes, you better run. Because you were the he was actually the inside man. No, it's not inside man. He was actually the inside guy who got all the plans, and his ego got to him. And I mean, it was a great movie, but see, that's the beauty of there's always another perspective. You know, don't give up. Don't give up. And never give up, because you truly don't know in the 11th hour. If you watch all the great movies about these times, like The Matrix, Lord of the Rings, all these great trilogies, even Avatar, it's always in the 11th hour and the 59th second that, you know, Frodo drops the ring and all of a sudden the earth collapses where all the orcs were, and all the men and you know, elves and, you know, whatever, they were fine. And, you know, and in The Matrix, you know, Neo spoke, you know, he went to, you know, Computer City, you know, and he battled himself, who is Mr. Smith, and figured out the whole thing was about he had to let Mr. Smith come inside him. He had to become Mr. Smith. See, there's that juicy truth of, if you keep the darkness out of you, the darkness will kick your ass. Now, darkness really hasn't kicked my ass because I kept it out of me, because I've always said I'm a poster child for the dark. It was actually the part when I didn't even realize I was creating dark. Now, that's kicking my ass. You know, like, I embrace the dark, but I still, here's the difference. You got to feel the dark. And by the way, I want to share something that I think is very important. You know, I talk to people who have, we seem to have a resonance of people who have alien encounters, and, you know, they're aware that they have reptilians or alien beings hitchhiking in their body system. Some people that were working with Steve Richards, the guy from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I can't emphasize enough that Janine is a person, she is a therapist that truly, you're not going to, if you call Janine and utilize Janine's wisdom as a therapist, she's not going to call you crazy if you show up on, you know, on the phone one day and go, listen, I've got entities, or I just got rid of entities, how do I handle being sovereign? Janine is a brilliant human being in that she owns her sovereignty, because she's, for one thing, what she's done, which is I'm so in awe of, Janine never shut her feelings down in all, what are you, 52 now?
No, 58.
Oh, 58. In her 58 years, I love that you're honest about that. In her 58 years of being on this planet, Janine has never shut down her emotional body. I mean, literally, the sensitivity to pain, to horrors, to all of it. And if you don't think, forget it. Trust me when I tell you, I'm as I read my books on alien abductions and things like that, Janine is a therapist that you can tell anything to, and she understands the complexity that other therapists might go, oh, come on, you don't have a reptilian in you. I mean, that just wouldn't come out of. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm blessed that, you know, let's just put it bluntly. If I knew about Janine and she wasn't my best friend, I'd pay Janine. I would. Hands down. I mean, it just so happens she's my best friend, so I don't have to pay her. But she's worth paying for. Because...
Thank you, Goldie.
Well, you're welcome. Because I was really like, I'm reading in The Love Bite, she talks about towards the end of the book how there's no therapist. People, you know, so what they do is they go to these... ET groups, abduction groups. And I'm not saying don't do that, but I mean, here she is, right here, right now. If you don't have an ET group or if you haven't found one yet, Janine's wisdom it helps you to remember sovereignty again. It's so organic. I'm telling you, Janine is unlike anybody I've ever met in my life. Ever. And I've made more strides to being where... I've always had the chutzpah to be who I am, but I did not have the direction. I mean, I kept getting in my own way. Janine literally taught me how to get out of my own way. And it is a finesse that should not be underestimated, and in my humble opinion, should be utilized. Call Janine. Call her. Don't commit to anything. Have one conversation with her. See how you feel when you hang up. She's one of the good guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it just makes sense because I get it. We don't have, there aren't a lot of, you know, there's a lot of therapists, but as George calls them, most therapists are border controls. You know, they're working for the Matrix. So you can't go to a therapist working for a Matrix when you're trying to get out of the Matrix. Ah, hello.
So true.
You know, and it's not about activating DNA, and it's not about meditating. It's about genuinely walking your authentic self in a strength of knowing as you walk that walk, you can handle anything.
Mm.
You are remarkable, Janine. You are.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, so much can be revealed in dialogue, and I guess with that dialogue comes feelings that I pick up. But it's true that I think it's because I have never turned away from my own feelings. And, you know, so, and even if I did and got, you know, it was like, oh, this is feeling awful, I was willing to feel awful. So,
exactly.
Well, yeah,
because you knew the benefits. Did you know? I don't know if you knew, but
I don't know. I think it's
you
just
know an, now. I mean, I know that.
Yeah, I just think it was a natural thing I always had. And, you know, it wasn't always easy, but being a poet when I was young and still am, but, you know, loving nature as much as... Loving nature as much as I did as a little kid, there was just a natural resonance with intimacy. I just was in love with nature. And whatever I just was a part of me, you know. And so, you know, and now hearing you speak and I go, oh, wow, look at that. You know, I love that it's so effective and helpful, and I am available.
And I'm telling you, I've spent thousands of dollars doing Albine's work. I've had, you know, DNA activations from a woman I used to be affiliated with. I've done the channelings. All of that. What bullshit? If anything, I'm telling you, that simply opened portals up in my home and in my body for hitchhikers to come and suck my energy dry. That's all that did. It was all a lie. You know, and again, I mean, okay, and so now in my sensitivity to what's really going on, now...
Don't you love that?
Oh, I do, because it just... First of all, I'm not... You know, I hear a lot of people beating themselves up for not being... making choices or not being someplace where they think they're supposed to be. If you're beating yourself up, that means the work that can be done is immediate if you go the organic route of, okay, well, you know, the integration. What's the integration? What do you feel bad about? Sit with it. Don't do anything to make it go away. Don't have your addiction. Be conscious. What's your addiction? Like we talked about a few weeks ago, I have an addiction of being on the phone. Okay, so I eliminated that. I'm not. You know, I actually had a huge elimination of that. Because I'll tell you, the more momentum I gain, the more I'm seeing literally implants of vampires within my inner circle, and I've eliminated them. I can sense this whole equinox. Here's another thing I do want to share. In my humble opinion, the reason why there was so much hype and propaganda built up about December 21st, 2012, was because the true shift is taking place at the equinox. And what the way most people, including New Age and light workers, are experiencing this time is when nothing really happened significant in anywhere, in the grand arena or within, well, I won't say within self, because, I mean, I've been having shifts going on within myself for the last 2 years, so I'm definitely shifting, but it didn't happen in the grand arena like I thought it would. With the powers that be or the powers that were, what they did that on purpose because by everybody being disappointed that nothing really shifted in the outer world on December 21st, now when the shift is actually taking place, most people are in fear, aggravation, they're in a dark space because they're seriously disappointed. And, you know, again, yeah. let's go to David Hawkins, you know, anger, frustration, fear, all of these are frequencies below 200. So now when the actual change is taking place, and remember, there is a compression. We're coming through the birth canal because the zero point is a birth that's happening. So it's almost like the baby was intentionally stressed. It's almost like the baby was, the umbilical cord was cut off, you know, through a manipulation, right before it was ready to start its journey down the birth canal, and so it's stressing, and where it should be the most relaxed, it's in heightened stress, which will, you know, seriously make the journey of that birth canal so much more painful. it's just so funny because I talk about this and I can't go into victim consciousness. It doesn't exist in my frequency. And I laugh and I go, and you know why is that? Because when we first came in to this situation, we were hog wild creating like nobody's business. So as we birth back into, past the big void of the fourth dimension and the fifth, you know, it's like we got to go through that same experience, but feeling it this time instead of pushing it onto others. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that disappointment, if that's gotten triggered, it's good to recognize and therefore, once again, utilizing what could make someone vulnerable. You know, you can actually that's the cool thing. You can actually take that and grow from it or gain from it. You know, because
of course.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of how the organic trumps everything.
Exactly.
You know, it really is, because disappointment is rampant in unresolved issues with people, and so it's really interesting when. If you ask someone, give it a word, disappointment comes up, and you go, okay, something to deal with there, And those are kinds of those signposts, And so even the whole falseness of the December 21st, you can turn that around and have it work for you. And that's kind of the beauty of it all.
Well, and that's the, right. If you can look at the things that are not going your way as the beautiful things that are making, are balancing you out,
yeah,
then it's a gift, not a curse. It's a,
exactly.
It's a, I mean, and here's the truth. If you're truly destined to leave the Matrix this time around, that's what it is. I mean, that's, you know, we're not blowing smoke up your ass. That really, you couldn't get out. You could not leave the Matrix unless you were willing to experience disappointment. You couldn't. And,
yeah,
you know, it's
right.
I look at that and go, wow, that, it's like, it's almost like my desire to want a child so much ended up being, you know, a great balancer for me. And here's the irony. And my soul was so powerful, I've spent the last 23 years raising children. I mean, come on. Does it get more funny than that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I did want a child, so I raised them. They just weren't mine.
Right, and you go through the gamut of emotions along the way, and then you arrive at this, and then you see, you know, it's like me when I say, I've been noticing that I'm visualizing spontaneously the galaxy hurling through space, and for some reason that comforts me. But, like, you know, it's almost like getting that larger perspective, and you see the beautiful plan, the soul plan, and you're like, now I see, you know. But before it was tormenting, or it was
exactly
it, right, and you know, who knows, maybe somebody's visualization of us as a galaxy hurling through space might go, they go, really? That makes me feel horrible and uncomfortable.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I find it comforting, actually, you know. So, you know, but along the way, it could have made me uncomfortable, too. I don't know. I didn't really...
And again, see, that's about embracing your own shadow side and
right,
really understanding, you know, because I'm telling you, Janine will tell you, in this lifetime, it's almost like I knew, because I was so hell-bent after I had my awakening at 30. I went, I will avoid pain at all costs. So, and it's so funny, I didn't take that from I didn't eat organic and I didn't exercise crazy. I did emotional clearings, meaning I did the holiest thing for 10 years. See, here's the thing, the funny part about it, but I really did mental clearings. But my goal was always like, if I can heal it in the etheric, it won't show up as cancers, and it won't show up as illnesses. I mean, I was very conscious of that. And I find that so funny, because what Janine has brought to me is, no. Feel all the crap. Feel all the pain. That's how you work through it. That's how you integrate it. And I'm like, oh. Like, but see, now as from the layers of the onion, I am so prepared now. I did cocaine because I didn't want to feel pain. It was a numbing agent. You
right.
know, now, I I'm not saying it's not easy for me to feel some of the pain that I do. But I have the knowledge and the wisdom to know why I'm feeling it, and I'll be damned. I'm not doing another lifetime in this matrix. So shut the fuck up, Goldie, and feel it. I can't, and I'm telling you, that is how I talk to myself. That's why I was like, let go of the addictions of being on the phone and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It, because I am not doing this again, and I know that, which is so why it's so ironic that I had a belief and I was hell bent on I'm going to do the emotional work so I don't feel it, and yet I was still in my head. I had the right concepts, but there is no avoiding the pain. There is no avoiding the pain. It is the journey to zero point, which will then, like I said earlier, birth me into the bottom layers of the dimensions that are heaven. You know, the fifth dimension, there's polarity in the fifth dimension, but it ain't nothing like the grand arena. It ain't nothing like fourth and down. Oh, no. You know, and we're going. We are going.
I like how you said earlier, you go, I don't know, but I know it's close. And I told you earlier, yesterday, I was like, you know, there are things very close to me that I know I'm they're coming closer of knowing. And I, it's all I can, that's about all I can tell you about, you know.
Well, but, and it's partially because you share that with me that I know that. So
yeah, that's so great. I love
when
you said
that. Well, it is. Well, and I love it because, see, Janine will get the sensation that it's close with her wonderful ability to sense things, and then I'll get the hit of, oh, we're going to remember everything. And in that divine, infinite moment of having all these memories of everything we're afraid of,
mm-hmm.
we are going to birth into the fifth. You know, it's like together we are just, we're a rocking team. And I'm telling you, I'm willing to share Janine. I am. She's available. I'll share her. You can't have her completely, but you can have some of her. I'm only joking. All right, we got 10 seconds, and then we're, well, to you guys in the chat room, and, well, nobody's on the air. Nobody's in the phone. We love you, but tune in. George is on Wednesday night, so March 13th. Okay, we went off the air, but that's okay. March 13th, 8 p.m., George Kavassalis, me, Janine, be there, be square. We're going to talk all about the equinox, the ending of the cycle, and everything basically that we've been talking about tonight with George's perspective thrown in.
Great.
And Janine,
well,
where
thank
can we...
you.
Yo, you're so welcome, babe. This was a great show, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Where now, and do me a favor, can you get put a phone number where people can find you from a phone number because of what
yeah.
I shared tonight? So
two ways. I have a therapy number, 732-872-8002. That's in New Jersey. And I also have a website which has a contact if you just want to email, jlkimmel.com, and just hit contact, and you can email me, you know, if you want to ask if I'm available or whatever. So
exactly.
Thank you, Goldie.
No, you're Thanks. Welcome. And I'm telling you, gift yourself, listeners, gift yourself with the wonderful wisdom of Janine Kimmel. Janine Kimmel should be in everybody's life, most especially if you are going through the awareness of fourth dimensional beings creating havoc in your world. She's not afraid to go there, and she knows she can truly give you the wisdom on how to create within yourself the wisdom to know how to deal with it. She's just brilliant. I mean that's, and I thought about that this week. I was like, I'm going to start saying this. Because people are coming to me, and I'm like, you know, talk to Janine, and I'm like, just put it in the show, Goldie. Put it in the show.
Right.
It's as simple as that. So you're welcome, babe. You're very welcome. Okay.
All right.
So that's about it, right?
We'll talk, any listeners will be listening Wednesday with George.
There you go. 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope you guys can tune in. If not, no worries. Grab it on archives. We love you. And
thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Janine. I love you.
I love you, too. Thank
Bye.
You.
You're so welcome.
All right. Good night, you all.
Good night.
Night. Bye.
Bye. Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we
had fun together.
We had a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, I'm